Hey, Emily, a couple of notable things have happened for you since the outbreak of the pandemic in March that I wanted to ask you about. One of those things was the King of the Court tournament in Utrecht, the Netherlands. You and Kelly flew out there and competed in the first international tournament, so to speak, of high caliber. What was it like with that international travel experience, given our current COVID culture? Did you so? Share with us some of your experiences on the way out there.
Well, the best part was the airplane had maybe 50 people on it. So it was a direct flight from LA to Amsterdam and had a whole row of seats to myself. So the traveling was great. And just being over there was incredible. They just opened up. They were completely shut down for a few months. And so they have a lot of they have very few cases there. So masks aren't required everywhere, which was kind of nice to be able to, go into a restaurant and walk through the mall and nobody's wearing masks. It felt normal again.
Now, did you have any certain expectations going in, being that you had come from the United States, where obviously in California we've been pretty locked down, so to speak?
We had to get COVID tested right before we flew, and then we got tested twice while we were there, once right when we got there, and then another one a couple days later. And we had to get temperature checks every morning. So they're definitely, they're doing all the precautions and keeping everybody safe, so.
Now let's go over to the event. The venue is pretty unique. They
Oh
built
my
this
gosh.
mega suite structure. Can you talk about what it was like being inside that structure in Utrecht in the Netherlands?
It was incredible. They did an absolutely amazing job. The environment was so cool. The stadium was just unbelievable. Playing in it was so fun, and just the DJ was going, the music was loud. It was very loud in the stadium, so definitely had to talk super loud to your teammate. But the whole experience was incredible. We are so grateful, to get the call to be able to go and that everything worked out.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things I noticed in all the chat boards was how it was like the loudest disco that any player had been in, between the McNamaras from Canada, their stories, and what you're posting, what April and Alex was posting. It's like boom, boom, boom.
Yes, it was. And then they had like the fog horns going off, and it was super fun.
Well, let's look at the play there now. What were your thoughts on yours and Kelly's play? I know it was obviously the first international event that being exposed to some potential Olympic competitors. So, what was that like?
I love the King of the Court format. Unfortunately, Kelly and I didn't play our best volleyball there. And because of the format, it's hard to find your rhythm in a situation like that. So we were unsuccessful in that aspect. But it felt really good to be out there with top players in the world again. And a lot of the European teams were getting ready for European Championships. So I think they were kind of all trending up with their training and stuff, where, we don't have a lot going on. So our training's just been a little different. And I think that showed, that the European teams did really well, and obviously Brazil won, and they're starting their tour. So it was unfortunate for us, but such a great experience, and we would do it again. So
To make that trip out of the beautiful country of the Netherlands, no biggie.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, something rather unique happened for you while you were playing in the Queen of the Court portion. You ended up pairing up with Germany's Maggie Kosuk. How did that all come about?
Kelly and I actually went to practice that morning, and as we were walking back into the hotel, Maggie stopped us and told us that Laura was injured and wasn't able to play, so she needed a teammate. And so she asked me to play, and she just said, I'll take your time. I mean, we have to let them know kind of soon, but think about it if you want. And right away, I'm like, I don't need to think about it. I'm in. Let's play. Like, give me a second chance here.
Now, how was it like playing with her so last minute? Because, I mean, from at least a spectator standpoint, you played pretty well considering this is your first time, I imagine, playing.
Yeah, it was it's kind of crazy because I think we definitely played two separate styles of volleyball. So we kind of went to the warm-up court a little earlier so we could just talk about, you know, the different sets that we wanted. Mm-hmm. And just to kind of be on the same page with side out and some defensive stuff, without making it too crazy, just kind of keeping it simple. And it was really cool. I mean, their coach was there, their sports psych was there. So mm-hmm. just being a part of that team was pretty cool.
Oh, so they had a full staff working with you during that last day.
Yes, exactly. I was like, wow, this is amazing.
So. Working towards that here in the States, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, when you got into playing at the event itself, what was it like being on court with her? Was there a language barrier or a communication barrier of any kind with signals and things like that?
No, definitely not. Because we definitely talked about that stuff before we played. And her English is amazing. So the communication was really easy. And like I said, we made things really simple, like who was going to take the middle ball. And we talked about all that stuff before we even stepped on the court together. So yeah, it was pretty simple and it was so fun. What a fun experience.
Well, you looked great on the stream. I was up at those crazy times of the morning watching you play. So
yeah. Oh, well, thank you.
Pulling for all my USA people out there on the court.
That's right. So fun.
Well, let's transition to some the other item or subjects that happened in the last few months. But you were considered for Miss Health and Fitness in a particular kind of competition. I thought was pretty cool. But how did you develop such a desire to pursue fitness for yourself?
You know, I majored in kinesiology and sports studies in college. So mm-hmm. fitness has always been something of interest to me. And then I played 4 years of indoor overseas. And during my last season, I started studying to take the personal training certification. Mm-hmm. So then when I moved back to the States, I ended up getting certified and I was a personal trainer for 4 years. Wow. And I mean, I just think that fitness is so big in our sport. So it just kind of fit my lifestyle and what I already enjoyed doing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Now, how do you maintain such an incredible physique and maintain optimal performance levels in particularly beach volleyball?
I have a trainer that kicks my butt every week. I have an incredible, Kelly and I both, we go to the same trainer and he's absolutely amazing. So he just, you know, he trains us specifically for beach volleyball and then specifically to our positions. Mm-hmm. So everything we're doing is very individualized and specific to us, which I think is, you know, important and obviously works.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that trainer is me when I look in the mirror every morning. I've got the degree in kinesiology. I can do this.
Yeah. I would love to use him someday.
Well, let me ask you now about the competition. How did you get involved in that Miss Health and Fitness competition?
It's crazy. My cousin actually sent me the link to it a few months ago. Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, I think that you could win this thing. And I wasn't super into it. But I ended up filling out the profile and just kind of going along with it. Mm-hmm. And then actually Sarah Sponsel, I was talking to her about it one night. She's like, are you serious? Like, you could definitely win this thing. You have to start posting about it and putting the link up and telling people to vote. She kind of pushed me towards actually focusing on it and putting it out there for people to vote.
Look at Sarah Sponsel developing a social media presence, and now she's a motivational speaker for you.
I know. Girl of many trades.
Yeah, she's doing some serious PR through all her digital media accounts. So I haven't. Exactly. Maybe she had a 10% vested interest in what you did.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sorry. We both got nothing.
Well, amid all the talented and qualified competitors, I mean, I believe you did all right. You dipped out around the quarterfinals, which, I mean, I was looking at that field of people that are being considered. Yeah, that was pretty intense. Like, what were your thoughts on being that competition?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I think that if I would have, from the beginning, really invested more time into it, I think I could have made it farther. So it's definitely something I enjoy doing, and I think I'll continue to, you know, if there's competitions coming up, just dabble with it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed that the philanthropy or the cause that benefited was Jared Allen's Homes for Wounded Warriors. And I believe in recent years, I've also seen you connected with a lot of veterans benefits and looking out for the people who've served our country. How did you develop an interest in really supporting our military?
Well, Kelly and I were just kind of brainstorming a couple years ago, just kind of out of the box, thinking how we could make volleyball more than just volleyball to us. And her dad actually came up with the idea of, you know, promoting the military and promoting different branches of the military every month. And so then Kelly and I decided that we would love to give back. So we found Warrior Foundation Freedom Station, which is based in San Diego. So we decided that we were going to give a percentage of our winnings to the organization, and just build a personal relationship with them. So we've gone down a few times and met some of the vets, and they have a wheelchair basketball league. So we've gone and supported some of their games before. And it just, you know, there's so much pressure to go out and to play your best volleyball and to compete every weekend. And it just feels really good to make it bigger than us. You know, like we're not just going out to try to make money for ourselves. Like, we want to go out and do well and make money so that we can give back to this organization that we truly believe in and truly want to support.
Now go ahead and just state, just so our listeners know, what's the name of that organization you're working with in San Diego?
It's the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Listeners, viewers, be sure to check it out. And I want to thank Kelly Stockman for joining me on volleyballmag.com. If you want to hear more of the conversation, we're going to move it on over to the Viral Volley podcast. And definitely a lot more questions for AVP, FIVB, standout, and Olympic hopeful in the Tokyo 2021 Olympics, Emily Stockman. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Espero with the Viral Volley podcast, and on screen with me or on the airwaves or digital waves, I've got AVP FIVB professional and 2021 Tokyo Olympic hopeful Emily Stockman here with me. Thanks for joining me on the Viral Volley podcast, Emily.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great having you, especially even after the volleyballmag.com piece. I have so many other questions for you that I know all our viewers and listeners are just as interested in hearing about from you. So I'm going to go and throw them right your way.
Fire away.
There we go. Hey, you know, in 2019, it seems that you and Kelly Nakolinski were trending upward as far as like success in all the different tours, the AVP, Norseca, the FIVB. In fact, you've got a gold, silver, and a bronze on the FIVB tour while winning the first ever Queen of the Beach and winning the AVP Seattle.
Yes.
Can you describe what the key ingredients were for your success during the 2019 season?
I think a lot of it has to do with our training and just our commitment. I think Kelly and I as a team are one of the hardest working teams on tour, even in the world, I would say. We're very committed. We go out there every day. We want to get better. And, you know, I think that we push each other and it's worked in our favor. We have goals in mind. And so every time we step on the sand, you know, we're working hard to achieve those goals.
Yeah. Now, obviously the 2020 season was shot because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But we were able to partake in at least 3 weekends of the top volleyball in the United States in the AVP Champions Cup Series.
Yeah.
you and Kelly, how did you maintain your training to prepare for that only event of this year?
Yeah. You know, we actually, I think the same as everybody else, really only had 2 weeks of preparation. Because right when COVID hit, I actually went back to Colorado and was off the sand for 2 months. Mm-hmm. So it was, our training kind of got fast tracked. But with our trainer, he does a really good job of helping us peak when we need to. So within those 2 weeks, he switched up what we were doing so that we are ready for those competitions. And he talks to our coach about those things. So, you know, we felt ready to compete, definitely probably not at our best, but the best that we could do within that time period.
Now, you've said your trainer a few times. Who is your trainer if you want to give him some love? We might as well recognize him.
His name is Mikhail.
Okay.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Now, what was that time like before the AVP Champions Cup Series? Like, did you have any concerns about reconnecting chemistry-wise with that time off with Kelly? Or
no, not at all. You know, ever since – so Kelly and I teamed up in 2018 – mm-hmm. And since we stepped on the court together, it felt like the chemistry was already there. I think it was very unique to our partnership. I think definitely there's some communication that we can always get better at, but mm-hmm. just the chemistry between us, it feels like it's always been there. So I don't think that ever will go away or ever has gone away.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, during that whole Champions Cup series, and both of you did really well. You know, looking at, you know, the Monster Hydro Cup, 7th, Wilson Cup, 7th, Porsche Cup, 5th. And
actually, fifth and third.
Oh, I looked at that incorrectly. Sorry about that.
No worries.
But I mean, you know, even looking at the stats at the conclusion of the event, because I'm such a stats geek, you and Kelly were in top five in a lot of the categories. Yeah. And I thought it was amazing at your performance. You came across the wrong teams at the wrong time because they really turned it on.
Yeah, definitely. You know, but I also think that has something to say about us is when teams play us, they have to play their best volleyball to beat us. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, teams did that when they needed to. And I think, you know, teams played great, not to take anything away from them because there's a lot of amazing teams out there.
Right.
But I think, you know, we definitely didn't play our best in certain situations and against certain teams. So, you know, we had good finishes, but I think there's still a little bit of disappointment there. You know, you're always going to win the tournament. But.
Well, a competitor always wants to win the whole thing. So there's going to be disappointment.
Exactly. But, you know, it was good. We learned a lot.
Right.
And, you know, stuff to work on during this off season, and we're excited to get to work.
Well, what's amazing is at least from an individual standpoint, looking at the stat sheet, you know, at the end of the series, you had 185 kills total, third place, 174 digs, again, third place, 14 aces, third place. You are turning your game on. If you look at some of the performances with the other athletes that were in front of you, the whole two of them, and they had some breakout performances.
Right.
So you're up there playing with that group of people, like kind of like the elite in each of the category. What brought that level of play out for you during the Champions Cup series?
You know, I think as an individual and just for our team, I think I said earlier, we have goals. We have, you know, individual goals and team mm-hmm. goals that we're always going after. My offense and my defense are two of the things that I really focused on kind of going in preseason into 2020, which ended up not happening. Mm-hmm. But just kind of different defensive plays that we're doing and just being more consistent with my offense. So those are two things that I've really been working on. So it was nice to see, you know, to see that kind of pay off and work in my favor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the last match that I got to see you and Kelly play in was that FIVB Pro Challenge in Manhattan Beach in November 13th.
Oh, that's right.
And the last match of the day was you and Kelly against Emily and Betsy, which is a phenomenal match. I believe is a nail biter, three setter. And you guys, it was like a defensive standoff. Both of you were blocking each other, digging each other. And it's such, so much fun to watch. And it was like evenly matched, but it just came down to like, I think it was a deuce set third set, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
But I could see the level of play that your team was achieving and how successful you were working together. But offensively, I mean, you guys seemed to be pretty dialed in as well. And that showed also in the AVP Champions Cup. Especially with the time being off, what I guess, was it just the relationship that you and Kelly had that allowed you to run such an optimal offense?
I think we're trying to implement, you know, different sets and different stuff to kind of make it easier as attackers.
Right.
So our coaches, both of our coaches have helped kind of broaden our offense and just with some technical arm swings and working on different shots and stuff.
Right. Well, nonetheless, it was great to see you play, at least in person that one last time, but even better to see you play at the Queen of the Court, and hopefully there'll be some more. But I've got questions for you a little bit later about the future, but we'll hold off for now.
Okay.
Now, currently for Olympic qualification, it's a pretty tight race for that number two spot, at least from an outsider standpoint. You've got April and Alex in the number one spot, but the number two spot has three teams going at it between Carrie and Brooke, Sarah Sponsel, and Kelly Clays, yourself, and Kelly. What kind of finishes do you and Kelly need to make that Olympic dream come true in 2021?
We definitely need podiums, more podium finishes for sure. I haven't, to be honest, like really calculated everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the exact finishes we need. But I do know that, you know, we have a couple 17ths and 9ths that we need to replace. Mm-hmm. I think for the most part, we need to take 5ths and better to jump into that number two spot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, going to the FIVB side, I'm trying to figure out, and I don't know if it's the same for you as an athlete that is in the FIVB, but is there any rumor or chatter about qualification events, FIVB events, like 3-4 stars happening? Because all I see is canceled on the website.
Yeah, there's really nothing to talk about yet. They're still kind of, and even if there's, I know that they've talked about, I think they want to start with the men's tournament in Qatar in maybe March or April. But even that stuff is just, everything's so unknown still that there's just nothing set. But I think they're trying to kind of mimic the same schedule that they had for 2020 moving into 2021. So hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, it's kind of hoping they would change it up and we'd see two locations in the United States so we can get our full back here.
That would be amazing. Yes.
Now let's move.
To have more here.
Yeah, for sure. Now let's move to the off the court pursuits. For you, I noticed on the AVP site that high school beach volleyball for AmeriCosta for boys and girls.
Yes. Are you
now? How did you get dialed into doing that, and what perked your interest in wanting to be a babysitter to a bunch of teenagers?
So when I first moved to California and started pursuing beach volleyball. Mm-hmm. My head coach at the time was the head coach for AmeriCosta for the women's side. And so he was coaching there and asked if I wanted to help him out and be an assistant. Mm-hmm. So that's how I got, that's the first that I got into the program. Mm-hmm. And then even, I think he was there for 2 more years and then ended up quitting. But then I just stayed coaching the whole time. And then I became friends with the coach for the boys program, Kyle Dennitz.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a good friend of mine now. So I got involved with them because of him. And yeah, it's just been, it's been super fun. So I do the boys in the fall and then the girls in the spring. And I've been doing that now for, geez, like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. That's awesome that you're getting developed some more South Bay talent. The MiraCosta powerhouse.
It's already a powerhouse. That's kind of the nice thing is I just stepped in as a coach and was like, oh, here's all these amazing athletes. Just have fun.
Right, right. Now, also, I noticed that it says you, it seems like you live a pretty adventurous and exciting lifestyle off the court, but what are some of the favorite things you'd like to do and why?
I love riding dirt bikes, motorcycles, and snowboarding, and I just recently got into mountain biking. So I grew up in Colorado, definitely a mountain girl. And growing up, our family vacations always consisted of going to the mountains. So whether we were camping or going skiing, and my dad raced motocross when I was a kid. So I grew up on the racetrack. So yeah, he's an adrenaline junkie and I definitely inherited that from him.
So no motocross career in the near future, at least until after volleyball.
Yeah, if I didn't play volleyball, that's probably the other thing that I would go into.
Or mountain bike riding.
that's a new, ever since COVID, that's kind of a new activity that I've really enjoyed.
Now, while we were talking before going on camera, you said you just got back from training, but I mean, how's it been training down in Hermosa Beach and all the South Bay? Are you seeing a lot of fellow AVPers out there training as well and getting some good reps in against them and with them?
Yeah, definitely once the AVPs got announced, we all started getting back into training. But then it got hard for a little bit because all the beaches got shut down here. So then luckily our coach had a connection with a lady up in the valley who has a court in her backyard. So we were able to go up there and train. I know a lot of players were driving down to Huntington to go train. But now that the beaches are opened up again, it's been really easy to get courts and go get some solid training and some solid reps out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to ask you the other personal questions. Like when Emily Stockman is wanting to get all fired up for a match, what kind of tunes is she listening to?
Oh man, you know, it really depends on my mood. Cause there's sometimes if I'm feeling anxious and really excited to play, I might need to calm myself down. Uh-huh. So I might listen to some reggae, maybe some country, or if I'm feeling kind of low on energy, I might put on some rap, maybe some reggaeton, some Spanish music. It just depends.
Do some soca dancing on the court as well.
Exactly. Yeah. Kids don't lie, you know?
How about a favorite inspirational movie for you?
Ooh. Inspirational movie.
Or how about just a favorite movie? I probably should have made it so specific.
One of my favorite movies is Love and Basketball.
Oh.
That's pretty inspirational.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
I love that movie. And I played basketball growing up, so that was always my go-to.
All right. How about a favorite book?
Relentless.
What was that again?
Relentless.
Relentless. Yeah, who's the author of that?
Tim Grover.
Mm-hmm.
He was Michael Jordan's trainer, Dwayne Wade. He's incredible. So the book is absolutely amazing. I don't even read that much, and I've read it 3 times.
As long as you're taking it all in.
That's right, yes.
You know, before I let you go here, I wanted to ask you what sponsors you've partnered with to allow you to pursue your pro volleyball journey, because I know it takes a village to pursue this lifestyle.
It absolutely does. So I am with PowerDot, which is like an electric a stim machine. Wow, we're getting words right now. So PowerDot's amazing. And then I'm with Healist, which is a all natural CBD company.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kelly and I just partnered with Bad Athletics, and that's for our proteins and different supplements. Mm-hmm. And then we have 100% sunglasses and Mutual of Omaha.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I meant to ask this a little earlier, but what does the next few weeks or months look like if there's any kind of plan? I mean, I know we live in a very fluid time, but and as far yeah. as like what you're anticipating.
So Kelly and I are actually going to Nashville, Tennessee to compete in an AVP Next event mm-hmm. at John Hyden's new club.
Oh, cool.
New facility. So we're doing that in the beginning of October. Uh-huh. And then in November, we're doing the Best of the Beach series in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Which is like King of the Court style, where you have four people in your pool and everybody plays with each other.
Sounds yeah. awesome. Well, you know, you'll yeah. definitely have to let me know if you guys decide to, you know, Facebook Live or Instagram Live, or if they're streaming.
Oh, yeah.
Because sure. I know a lot of people are desperate to watch some ball.
Right? I know. It's been nice lately. There's been more sports on, so.
Yeah, yeah. I've been asking this of all my guests that have come on. I may be catching you off guard, but hopefully we'll just get a natural roll-off answer from you. But, you know, we're going through the what they call the most unprecedented times in history. And you know, it's a difficult time. There's challenges. But what words of encouragement would you have for those that are challenged during this time? And what would you tell them?
I would say that... you know, it's hard for everybody. You're definitely not alone. If you're feeling, you know, scared or uncertain about things, I think talk to somebody. 'Cause I think a lot of people are going through the same thing. And I know for me personally, I have my faith. So that's helped me a lot through this time. Mm-hmm. So if you have, you know, faith or whatever meditation, anything that you do that can kind of center you and bring you back. Right. I would encourage you to do those things in this time.
Awesome. Well, hey, everyone, I want to thank Emily Stockman, FIVB AVP standout and 2021 Tokyo hopeful and former Wichita State Shocker, two-time All-American.
Hey.
I've actually been to your digs. I've worked at a few events there. So.
All right. Nice. Love it. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I look forward to seeing what the future has here in the next few months, especially with the Olympics just knocking on next year's door. So
yes. Excited.
Thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you.